listening to a sermon from New Life Church in Guernsey. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message.
Well, this week we continue reflecting on the events of the final days of Christ's life on earth. And as we think about verses 35 to 40 of Mark chapter 12, as was read by Jane. Thank you very much, Jane. We'll have the following three headings to mark our way. And I guess that's got to be a pun because, you know, we're in the Gospel of Mark. Those who are part of the church know that I can't avoid a pun or two. It just kind of happens. But these are the three headings that we're going to be having a look at. Christ preaches well is the first kind of subheading that we'll be looking at, and there's no surprises there. Of course, Christ preaches well, but that's reflected in this passage. The second is Christ calls out those who don't practice what they preach. And thirdly, Christ points to a greater condemnation, and we're going to be thinking about that a little bit this evening as we briefly consider this passage of Scripture. So firstly, Christ preaches well. We've seen by now that at the instigation of the chief priests and their company, many had tried to trick Jesus by presenting him with questions of every kind. And yet, as we have reflected on in the last few weeks particularly, every time Jesus answered with great insight and wisdom, to the point that Mark chapter 12, verse 34 points out that there came a time that no one dared to ask him any more questions. And these were intelligent, highly educated people who posed questions to him, and yet there came a time when even they didn't dare to ask Jesus any more questions because of the manner and the excellency with which he answered their questions. Well, the next verse, verse 35, tells us that Jesus is now teaching in the temple, and just as he had masterfully answered every question that was hurled at him, to the amazement of the crowd, Mark 12:37 tells us that the great throng heard him gladly. And so, isn't it wonderful that as Jesus preached, many of the people were receiving what he had to say with glad hearts. The subject of his sermon that's presented to us in this passage is quite fascinating. At New Life Church, we believe that preaching should always be Christ-centered and express the gospel in some way, which is just what Jesus was doing on this occasion, but in the kind of way that no other preacher ever should. Jesus was really pointing to himself. He said, "How can the scribes say that the Christ is the Son of David?" And then he went on to show that although Christ is the Son of David in one sense, we know this from scriptures like Matthew chapter 1 and Romans 1 verse 3, they present Jesus to us as the Son of David. So it's fair for us to think of the Christ as the Son of David. And yet, Christ is also Lord of all. And that's the point that Jesus was making in this sermon, that above being the Son of David, Jesus is Lord of all, including Lord of David. And he points to the fact that David himself brings this to light and says that this is the case. And so Christ preached well, and the throngs heard him gladly, recognizing the fact that the Christ is Lord of all. And secondly, Christ warns those who don't practice what they preach. He calls them out. Although last week we read about a scribe who seemed to be genuinely seeking answers from Jesus, he had recognized the wisdom that Jesus had displayed, and so he had a legitimate question that he brought to Jesus, and it seems from the passage that he came with a soft heart, a heart that was soft toward God and soft toward others, and it seems as though he really wanted to find out what Jesus had to say about the all-important question that he brought to Jesus. He was a scribe, and although we read of him, and although we're told that the crowds were receiving Christ's teaching gladly at this point, it appears that the general gathering of scribes didn't respond too well to the things that Jesus was saying. And so Jesus said to them, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses for a pretense make long prayers." And that's Mark 12:38 to the first part of verse 40. These scribes were going to great measures to look good, to seem as though they were righteous. But they simply weren't practicing what they were preaching. And we're not given extensive details in this passage of exactly what they were doing and why Jesus was calling them out. But it's clear that they weren't being who they were supposed to be. If we think about the shepherds of Israel who had rotten hearts and weren't shepherding the flock, it's they'd been called to shepherd the flock. This is an example of that taking place, and Jesus calls them out for it. Now, I think that an example that's quite relevant, if we need an example of how these scribes weren't practicing what they were preaching, would be this. We've heard in previous weeks about the unsavory practices that were taking place as far as the treatment of widows is concerned, and Dave spoke about that, as did Rod, and so I'm not going to get into that again this evening, but there was a treatment of widows that was taking place that was not honoring to the Lord. And the scribes, as Jesus has called them out in this passage for doing so, were participating in these unsavory practices. Now, here's the thing. Surely they were studying and preaching on passages like Isaiah chapter 1. They would certainly have been doing so. And Isaiah chapter 1 says this: "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause." Very simple, very straightforward. They were doing the opposite, certainly of that last sentence. They were doing the opposite of pleading the widow's cause. They were abusing widows for their own benefit. And that's in Isaiah chapter 1, 16 to 17. And the broader context of these verses is the Lord saying, "I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats." Now, surely these scribes were doing those things well. They were bringing their offerings to the Lord, seeming so righteous, but their hearts were not in the right place. And they weren't pleading the widow's cause. They were doing the opposite. Now, by way of application, we can ask the question if the scribes were real or counterfeit in their faith and their love for God. And I think from this passage, certainly we can conclude that they were counterfeit. They weren't who they were claiming and presenting themselves to be. But we need to ask ourselves if we're real in our faith, or if there's a part of us or the whole of us that's also counterfeit. And we need to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, please search my heart. If there's anything within me that's counterfeit, please point that out and help me change these things." Now, let's think about this from our perspective. Long prayers, regular church attendance, even being honored and recognized in the community as people of faith are all good things. There's nothing wrong with any of these things, as long as our hearts are in the right place. If we do any of these things as an effort to look good or for self-promotion rather than for glorifying God or reaching out to others with his love and with his truth, then we're as counterfeit as the scribes that Jesus spoke to on that day were. The third point is that Christ points to a greater condemnation. Now, referring to the scribes that we've just been reflecting on, Jesus says that they will receive the greater condemnation. And that's the second part of verse 40. We know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore all of us are condemned because of our sin. The Bible makes that remarkably clear. We regularly look at such things. Yet biblically, there are indications in Scripture that there are degrees of judgment and condemnation. That those who have, or that should have known better, or who have taught others falsely, will be held accountable and judged with greater strictness than others. Now, I certainly don't understand exactly how all of that will work, but I trust God's goodness and that he's the perfect judge. But Scripture does give an indication that, in a sense, there will be different degrees of judgment and condemnation. Besides this verse in Mark 12 that we've just read, James chapter 3, verse 1 is another example of a verse that speaks about these kinds of things. Now, on the other hand, the all-important ingredient that the scribes had missed is that all are condemned because of sin, and the only exception are those who accept Jesus as the Christ. In that sense, degrees of condemnation don't really make that all that much difference. The Scriptures are clear. Be we scribes, Pharisees, tax collectors, or anyone else, the way we are freed from condemnation is through Christ Jesus. And the scribes should have known the Scriptures and therefore should have recognized the Christ. The question for us is, do we know Christ? If we do, the good news is that there is no condemnation for us. Degrees of condemnation aside, there is no condemnation for us. Paul says this so well in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those, it doesn't say those who are scribes or those who wear long robes or pray long fancy prayers as a pretense. It says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 1. And so if you are in Christ Jesus, regardless of the degree of condemnation that you may otherwise deserve, there is no condemnation for you. And so friends, with these things in mind, let's lay aside striving and pretense if these things have been a part of our faith journey in any way. And let's freshly surrender our lives at the foot of the cross, grateful for the love and mercy of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out more about our church or would like us to pray for you, we'd love for you to get in contact with us via our website. And if you're in Guernsey and you don't already belong to a church, you're really welcome to join us this Sunday at New Life Church.